So I thought this morning we'd finish our Holy Week by going back to Good Friday. And on Good Friday, our Savior died. He gave his life so that we didn't have to. And then Saturday, which was yesterday, was a sad day for those during that time. But if you remember the other video we showed, if you were here on Good Friday, it said it's Friday, but what? Sunday's coming. Well, guess what? Sunday's here. Sunday's here. And as sad as that is, and as hard as it is to watch, the fact is, on Sunday morning, they went to the tomb, and Jesus wasn't in it. He's alive, folks. Jesus is alive. So I hope and I pray that you're here this morning to celebrate the fact that your Savior, Jesus Christ, is alive. And so we're going to do things slightly different this morning. We're going to use music and video throughout the whole service to help you worship today, to help you, because today ought to be what? I've said it before, this is the Super Bowl for Christians. You know, this is the national championship. You know, we'll buy tickets and we'll go sit in stadiums 80,000 at a time and shout and scream and holler over a football team. But on Easter Sunday morning, we'll sit like this sometimes. Today ought to be a day, man, we shout to the rooftops about Jesus Christ and the fact that he's alive. So today as we go through, Jackie's going to come in a minute. He's going to lead you in a song. And then we're going to, like I say, we're going to have some more videos and songs. And I encourage, I say this all the time, don't quench the Spirit. The Spirit leads you to the altar, come to the altar. It leads you to stand and raise hands, stand and raise hands. It leads you to go across the aisle and hug somebody's neck. Go across the aisle and hug somebody's neck. Whatever you do in the name of Christ, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, is absolutely acceptable in his eyes. So I invite you today to worship King Jesus. Before I pray, I want to share something. You know, we've been going through the gospel primer. I told Carol, I said, you know what, on Easter Sunday, I want to share something. And I actually had a different one, but then I was going back through it. And I ran across part two, which is day 25 in this book that says, All Things Crucified. And I just want to read this to you. Thankfully, the gospel teaches me that dying is not an end, but a beginning. And I'm going to add to that. Because he lives, one day we'll live. One day we'll live. For after Christ took up his cross and died, God raised him from the dead, exalted him to the highest heaven, and drew him into his bosom. These facts surrounding Christ's resurrection stand as proof positive that God will not leave me for dead, but will raise me similarly if I would only allow myself to die. Indeed, on the other side of each layer of dying lie experiences of a life with God that are far richer, far higher, and far more intimate than anything I would have otherwise known. In God's economy, death is actually the way to life. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, Jesus says. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he shall find it. Indeed, the more comfortable I am made to the death of Christ, the more I experience freedom from sin and taste the power of the resurrection of Jesus himself. The path to such power is paved with many dyings, and each stage of resurrection is achieved with each incident of dying to myself and reckoning myself dead to sin. The more I contemplate the gospel, the more I understand that this word of the cross stands as a blueprint for my own life story. The death that Christ died is the death to which I am also called, and the death to which I am called is my entry point to union with Christ and life at its fullest. So come what may, I'll let no one take this death from me. Jesus is alive. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you that today is a day of celebration. We thank you, Jesus, that you knew that you'd have to give your life in our place. But we thank you, Jesus, that you also knew, because you told us you would, that in just a few short days, a few short hours, that your Father, my Father, our Father would raise you from death back into life. So Jesus, thank you for doing that. Thank you for going back and preparing a place just for me. And I can't wait, Jesus, till that day. I cannot wait. So, Father, during this time this morning, we pray that you're pleased. We pray that you're honored with the things that we do to worship you in this place. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. And
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds on the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood.
May be seated. All right. Man, what a weekend we've had. What a weekend. I tell you, it's already been mentioned, but you look at the weather we've had. The unpredictable part of that. I mean, what was it? Wednesday, it was, 79, 80 degrees. And then this morning, as beautiful as it turned out to be next to the lake, it was 37, 7-mile-an-hour wind. And yesterday was, I don't know what you'd call it, just a... But I'll say this, isn't it amazing? If you sit back, isn't it amazing how God will sometimes use nature to remind us of real life events, and the fact that all that happened from Wednesday, well, you could even back up and say last Sunday, from Palm Sunday through Easter, all this just every day, how it followed Passion Week and the story of Christ. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday just build up to yesterday in all that misery. And then this morning, to get up, how many of you got up and looked outside and there was no rain and you heard the birds chirping and the sun was shining? Man, isn't it amazing how God uses nature sometimes to remind us of His supernatural power? Because that's what today is about. The things that happened with Christ, death on the cross, being buried in a tomb, and then being raised from that death. Guess what? Those things aren't natural things that occur, especially being resurrected and being raised from the dead. That takes something supernatural. That takes God. And I, for one, I'm glad that God decided to do what He did. So think about it. The first Easter was like what we've experienced over these past few days. And I'm sure the closest people, the closest ones to Jesus, that Thursday evening through Sunday morning felt both emotionally and spiritually overwhelming. And I would say it like this to keep this theme of nature, kind of like winter and spring, kind of like the seasons we deal with. You remember on Good Friday, all hope was shattered. You know, I said this on our Good Friday service. I understand now why they call it Good Friday. But just if I did not know Christ and I did not know what I know about Him and about the Scriptures, I would look at that and say, well, you know, they're talking about a guy dying. How can that be good? But the reality is He died, so, and we've seen it already this morning, so that what? We can have life. So Good Friday, to those around, they didn't understand that yet either. So for them, think about it. Perhaps all their hope was shattered. As Jesus, the probable Messiah, and I use that word intentionally because for many of them, even the disciples, they had yet not made up their mind, not yet, about who Jesus really was. So Jesus, the probable Messiah, was executed, and He was executed as a common criminal. Sorry, y'all. I said this the other night on Friday. I try not to get emotional, but when I start thinking about it, I can't help but get emotional. Because every time I think about it, I think, man, yeah, it was 2,000 years ago, but He did that for me. He did that to me. Or for me. But for them, those around Him, His closest, His family, His friends, the disciples, the day was very much like what we saw Friday night into Saturday. Cold and bleak and dreary like a wintry day. It was a day and night perhaps filled with thoughts of doubt or maybe thoughts of confusion or in some cases even maybe some thoughts of shame as they sat around trying to make sense of what had just happened. I've often done that myself, tried to say, all right, I really want to understand God. I really want to understand. I really want to understand what the Scripture says. So I'll close my eyes and try to shut everything else down. And I'll try to say, okay, put yourself, Brian, in that place, in that moment, in that situation. But in their case, I believe Friday night into Saturday and all day Saturday, they were just sitting around trying to make sense of what had just happened. What had just happened. And then, all day Saturday, very similar to the evening before, cold and dark. Perhaps they might have had feelings of fear. We know that. The Bible tells us what? They went into hiding. Because they thought, what? Well, they just did that to Him. They might come and do it to me. And perhaps, you know, because of that fear and because of them trying to make sense of everything, perhaps those feelings and those thoughts and those emotions, turn from all of that into this feeling of hopelessness. Has anybody ever felt hopeless? You know what that feels like? It stinks, doesn't it? It stinks. You know, on that Saturday, it was Passover. And on Passover, every good Jew did what every good practicing Jew would do. They would stay indoors for the Sabbath. And on this day, those who knew Jesus also remained inside, not because it was just the Sabbath, but because they were likely mourning the terrible events that had occurred the day before. And then, as I said earlier, we get to Sunday, y'all. But on Sunday, similar in nature to how today turned out for us, spring burst forth. It didn't feel like it at 37 degrees, but at 4 o'clock this afternoon, guess what? It's going to be 67 degrees. Spring burst forth. The sun rose, and guess what? It'll warm the day, and it'll serve as a reminder of Christ rising out of death and into life. And for us, very soon, those spring flowers, we've seen some already, daffodils, right? Lilies, guess what? They'll signal that a new season has arrived. I don't know about you guys. I don't really like the winter. I'll take the heat any day, within reason. So I love the fact that when the sun rose this morning in my mind, I thought, man, a new day, a new season, a new joy is upon us. And for those on that very first Easter morning, a new season had also arrived. Jesus, the Messiah, was no longer in the grave. Death could not hold him. The stone, as we just saw in that song, guess what? Was rolled away. And there was no question, no doubt, he was alive. Yes, indeed, he is risen. No longer was Sunday coming, but Sunday had arrived. Now, we're going to play another video, another song. And the reason we're going to do this is the lyrics of this song is awesome, y'all. But many of you have probably seen this. But I want you to see his passion when he sings this song. And his expressions, and just how he gives it his everything. And I love it because it speaks to how we ought to be as believers, especially on this day. If there's any day out of the 365 and a half that we have in a year in our calendar, this ought to be the day that we can give it everything. So I just ask you to worship and watch this video and just watch David Phelps. And not to mention his voice. When God gives me a singing voice, I'm sounding like this, y'all.
The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said, they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden, then John ran on ahead. And we found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there. just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, because I'd seen them crucify him. And then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. So even if he was alive, it could never be the same. Then suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Oh, but then he raised me to my feet. And as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Oh, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
There's going to be a day. I know it. I just know it. I feel it in my spirit that God's going to let me have a voice that strong and that powerful. Jesus Christ is alive. I thought this morning we'd look together at Luke's account of Jesus' resurrection. After all, that was what that song was based on. So let's look together at Luke 24, 1 through 12. It'll be on the screen. If you'd like to have it on your phone, you can do that. Or there's Bibles in the pew, or you can turn in your own Bible. You may get a different version. I use the ESV. But Luke's account says this: but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. What a great morning, y'all. Those ladies had no idea what they were going to discover that morning when they went to the tomb. How awesome it is. Y'all, I'm getting all the ladies on my good side, y'all. How awesome it is that it's ladies in a male-dominated society that God chose to reveal the risen Savior to on that morning. The details in all the Gospels of the resurrection, you'll find that they differ a little bit from gospel to gospel. In other words, were there actually two men in the tomb? We just read it here, right? One of the other accounts just says it was one. Were they angels or were they actually men? Which of the women were actually there? We know what we just read, right? If you go read the other accounts, you'll find these slight little differences. But one thing that you will not find different, all four accounts tell us a couple of things that are definitive. First, that the first ones to get to the tomb, guess what, were women. I love it. Women, look at me. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you don't have a place in ministry, because it isn't true. You got a place. And the other thing is what? Say it loud, Brian. He is not here. All four accounts. Women were first, and Jesus was not there. Now, while that information is very cool, I want you to also see that in that moment, God's angels, or as Luke calls them, men in dazzling apparel. I wonder if that's why the TV evangelists dress up in. Just kidding. But Luke calls these men in the tomb men in dazzling apparel, and it jogged the memories of those ladies. You know, they went there, what? Doom and gloom, with spices to go and anoint the body, to embalm the body, right? And when they get there, they see what they saw, and then the men spoke to them, and it jogged their memories. It jogged their memories and brought them back to Jesus himself doing what? Telling them exactly what they were experiencing in that moment. It jogged the memories of those ladies, and it turned their fear and their hopelessness, their helplessness, into hearts filled with hope. All the preparation and teaching from Jesus about that moment, in that moment, became very, very clear. And they knew that Jesus was alive. And you read some of the other accounts, it says they hurriedly went back to the other disciples. And here we know that they went back to the other disciples. And we know that from reading this, that those ladies were not the only ones feeling hopeless and helpless, were they? Look at how the other disciples responded to the news that these ladies came back with. Is it back up there? But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Verse 12 says what? But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. See, the disciples, when the ladies returned, guess what they did? They didn't believe them. These ladies come back, and they said, hey, let me tell you what we just found. Let me tell you what we just saw. We went to do what we was going to do, and we got there, and we couldn't do it because he wasn't there. And these two guys, man, they were glowing, and they were sparkling, and they reminded us about Jesus dying and telling us that he was going to be raised again on the third day, and he was going to be alive. Guess what? He's alive. Why do you think those disciples didn't believe them ladies? Perhaps it was too far-fetched. I don't know. Well, he's not wrong. Because that's the other reason they perhaps didn't believe those ladies. Because that society in that day did not think highly of women. Another reason. Somebody ever ask you for evidence to prove that Jesus Christ is alive, take them right there and talk about the fact that God used in a day that wasn't accepted, it wasn't approved, it wasn't highly looked upon, he used ladies to deliver the message that he was alive. That's enough evidence for me, folks, to know that God did something supernatural. God did something supernatural. But who was the first one? The first one of the bunch. The guy who three times denied him. He was the first one of the bunch to say, let me go check it out for myself. And when he got there, he saw the same thing that the lady saw. You see, folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope. It gives us a renewed hope that when we are at a dead end, God can bring us through it. It gives us a hope that no matter how alone we feel, God will never leave us alone. We never have to be lonely. The Bible tells us that God will always be with us. The resurrection gives us hope that with God, all things are possible. You say, well, yeah, that's a verse out of the Bible. No, I don't want to use a verse. I want to use what happened on this morning at that tomb. Surely, if God can raise somebody that's dead and decaying and rotten in a grave back to life, then there's nothing else that he cannot do. Resurrection, folks, brings us hope. It brings us an opportunity to look at life from a very different perspective. And I go back to our weather. I went to bed last night thinking, Lord, let tomorrow morning be beautiful. But I was very similar in my mind to how the disciples were when those ladies returned. My hope was like this. But when I walked out of my house this morning and I got to the church and the coffee was making, and right outside the office, the door, I could hear the birds start chirping. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And in that moment, you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? I heard you. I also heard all the other ones that were praying the same thing. Now watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I'm going to do. I tell you, on Easter Sunday morning, a couple thousand years ago, he did exactly what he told them he was going to do. Jesus Christ is alive. He's absolutely alive. We're going to play another song right now, y'all. Death was arrested. Death was arrested on that Sunday morning. I told you it's going to be a little different, so.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me.
Jesus arose with my freedom in his hands. Whew, what a song, y'all. What a song. Not only does resurrection bring us hope, it also brings with it redemption. I've always wondered why God would make a way for me in all my filth to be forgiven. Why is it that an innocent man had to die? Why would God do that for me? After all, none of us are innocent, are we? The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, the answer to that question of why Jesus, why an innocent man would have to die, the answer to that is redemption. The only way that a holy and perfect God could be in a right relationship with me, be in a right relationship with you, is if someone innocent, blameless, sinless could take your place to take our punishment. If someone who never deserved such a punishment stood in the gap and took my place. And I got it bolded with an exclamation point, but I feel like I've yelled at you enough already. It says, and you know who that someone is? Jesus. Jesus. What a name. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he willingly laid down his life for you, paying the price for every sin that you would ever commit. And here's the truth. Once we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, God no longer condemns us. And if God doesn't condemn us, we got to also stop condemning ourselves, and we got to also stop condemning each other. We can find the forgiveness that many of us may be desperately seeking. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us a fresh start, a new life, a blank slate, a freedom. Not to be us anymore, but to be the us that he needs us to be, or he wants us to be, or that he created us to be. Thank you, God, for life. And not just life, but eternal life. Notice what was asked of the women in verse 5. Oh, Brady put this on there. I forgot to put it in my notes. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Christ died for us. Go back to Luke right now, though, and look at verse 5. What does the angel ask those ladies? Why do you look for the living among the dead? I like how Jeremy said it this morning. Can I put it in Mount Rest-Ease? Those angels says, why are you looking in all these tombs in this graveyard full of dead people for somebody that's alive? Well, the answer was Jesus was no longer dead. He was very much alive. The tomb was empty. When Jesus came back to life, this is the reality of what resurrection means. He reversed the curse on all mankind. The Bible refers to Jesus as the second Adam. Anybody ever heard that? You know why? Well, the first Adam led us into sin, which means what? He led us also into death. Sin and death lead to eternal separation from God. The second Adam, however, led us into redemption and life, forgiveness and eternal life. So when we think about it this way, or when we think about it, it allows us to say along with Paul the words that he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that with Paul this morning? If you belong to Jesus, there's nothing you have to fear. Nothing. I mean, think about it. If you believe all the things that I've been saying this morning about what resurrection means for you, the promise of that being what? An eternal life in heaven with him forever, then you shouldn't have anything to fear. Now, that doesn't mean you go out into the world willy-nilly and just do what you want to, saying it doesn't matter, right? But you shouldn't fear anything in this world. Why? Because the worst thing that has happened to you, guess what? What's the worst thing that could happen to you? We don't like to think about it, but the worst thing that happened to you is you die. Well, if you're a believer and you love Jesus Christ more than you love anything else, your next breath is going to be where? In his presence. And guess what? Clock didn't start on eternity then. Clock started for eternity when you said, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. The worst things happen to you, you could die. You go to heaven. Jesus brings us life, eternal life, life to the fullest, life that begins at the moment we believe and continues forever. And as I said the other day, forever is a long time. Let me ask you a very, very serious question this morning. Because I tend to get a little fired up, passionate sometimes. But I want to slow down a minute, and I want to be really, 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 really serious. Do you have in your heart that assurance? Do you know that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And I'm not trying to create doubt, but I want you to ask yourself that question very, very honestly today. Do you know that you know without a doubt that He's your Lord and Savior? I hope so. If not, there's not a magic formula. But sometimes we need help. But I'll say this, it's simple. You can say to God either in your mind, in your thoughts. You can come up here and say it with me, or you can just sit right there and say it out loud. But it's as simple as saying, here I am, God. Little old me. Here I am. Will you forgive me? I know I don't deserve it, but will you do it anyway? I recognize that you sent Jesus to the cross. You sent Jesus to the grave for that purpose. So I'm only asking you to forgive me because I know that you told me you would. And then you say, here I am, God. Here's my life. Here I am, Jesus. Here's my life. Right now, in this place, in this moment, the best way I know how, I'm going to give it to you. And from this point forward, I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you before and above anything, anybody, and everything else. And you can even say amen. Y'all know what amen means? Confirmation. Yes, so be it. And guess what? The Bible teaches us if that was a genuine thought, a genuine expression, if it was real from right here and not from right here, that from that point forward, your clock of eternal life begins. And when that begins, I got saved when I was 9 and a half, but it took me a long time to understand what I'm about to say. From that point forward, you start this awesome adventure with God. There's not a day that's the same. There just isn't. There just isn't. I say it this way, man. Sometimes we ain't got a clue what's coming. We just don't. But I say this, that awesome adventure with God, all you got to do is kind of like that woman that had the blood disorder. And, you know, we're watching it in The Chosen. We're about to find out what's... And all she wanted to do was touch His garment. The adventure, the ride with Jesus, all you got to do is grab a hold of the coattail and hang on. Because it's a ride, y'all. It's a ride like no other. It's an awesome adventure with Jesus that loves you, that forgives you, that redeems you back to Himself, and He promises to never leave you nor forsake you and to always be there for you, to be there for you. And I know y'all know me, I like to do things different anyway most of the time. But I know you may have come Good Friday, you may have come this morning, and it was like, wow, that was totally different than what I was expecting. And I hope so. Because I'm tired of, I shouldn't say it that way, but I get frustrated when it's the cookie cutter, mundane, this is how we got to do Easter. It's got to be this way, or it's got to be. No, the only way it's got to be is worship to God. And you know how that worship ought to be? Led by the Spirit of God and not of anything else. So my prayer that for weeks has been on this week of Passion Week and Good Friday to Easter morning is that you have been refreshed. And you have grabbed the cloak, the tunic of Christ. And you've prepared yourself to hang on for the ride. Amen. Because here's the thing. Yeah, Easter is one day that we've set aside. But it ought to be every day. It ought to be every day. And I'm going to do my best, y'all. I'm like anybody else. I'm just human. And I get tired and I get weary. But I'm going to do my best to be this energetic all the time. Not for me, not for even you, but for him. Because, man, I want to walk around not singing, but I want to walk around with the expressions and the passion that you see David Phelps sing that song just in talking to people about Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, if they don't know him, then they're going to, some point in time, be separated from him. And that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. So we're going to play a song. Y'all know this song too. Jesus Paid It All. This is our song of invitation. And this one, we're going to put words on the screen. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to sing with it. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar if you need to come to the altar. I'll be here to pray with you. Talk with you. Just don't leave this place today without making up your heart and mind about Jesus Christ. Is he your Lord or not? Do you love him or not? Is he alive to you or not? Today's a great day to make it right.
a crimson stain. He wore here white as snow.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's still going to do more, Gail. Still going to do more. God is good, y'all, all the time. And all the time, God is good. What a day. What a glorious day. I hope that Easter 2023 has been awesome. And I know the rest of the day is going to be great. I just know it. I just know it. Go and serve your King. Love your King. Share your King. Because you never know the miracle that might take place in somebody's life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, for your power, for your compassion, for your peace. Most importantly, Father, for your love and your mercy and your grace. Because, God, I need it all. I need it all. Thank you, Jesus, that as we just sang, you paid it all for me. So, Lord, I pray that you'll give me the courage, you'll give me the boldness, you'll give me the strength to go and live in such a way that makes much of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. What a great day of celebration you have blessed us with. And we pray too, God, that you have been pleased and honored with everything that has taken place in this place. As we go now, we ask for your provision and your protection. And we know, Father, that you always will in your own special way. We thank you and we love you. We pray all this in your mighty and holy name. Amen.